Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning. Hallelujah and happy resurrection. Yes, it's a blessing to be alive, and we know our Savior is risen. He has risen. Amen. We serve a mighty Creator. He's wonderful. He's the true. He's the living Elohim. Yes, we trust him. We depend on him. And we believe in him. He left us a legacy. Hallelujah. To pattern our lives after him. I tell you, I don't take that for granted. And I hope and pray that you don't either. We are blessed people. We have the legacy of the Messiah. The example how he walked as a holy creator on this earth. Oh, hallelujah. I thank him. He didn't have to do what he did, but I'm so glad he did. I believe you are glad too. He is the anointed one, the Messiah, the promised king who came to deliver the entire world, to set us free, and I'm so grateful about that. I thank you for joining me once again on Crown Talk and Drums Radio. It's early in the morning, and I think you may be late in the evening somewhere who's listening to the recording or who's listening live out there in another country. We just thank the Most High that you're here. Hallelujah, to hear what the Father, who the Holy Spirit has to say to us today is for such a time as this ministry. My name is Sarepta Cunningham, and I can't thank Elohim. Hallelujah. You may hear me say Elohim, Yahweh, Yahuwah, Yah. I'm still talking about the one and only true God. I'm just giving him his name that should have never been changed. Hallelujah. But I do thank him for giving me this time, this opportunity, and in this space, amen, as a part of this season in my life, hallelujah, that I get the ability to share and encourage others through this space, hallelujah, and I'm encouraging myself at the same time. I'm just grateful. I'm just excited to see what the Holy Spirit is going to, what he's giving me and how he's going to take it and where we're going to go. I'm just excited. Hallelujah. The word works. The word helps us. The word delivers us. The word keeps us. It is living. It is acting. It is the truth. It brings the very life, hallelujah, of our Father himself to the forefront. Because guess what? It's not about any one of us. Yeah. We just get the opportunity to be used for his glory in his service. Hallelujah, to lift him up, to talk about him. And we know he was lifted up. He was lifted up as he talked about, as he was preparing his disciples, or the scriptures call his part ones, as he was preparing them to leave, preparing them that he was about to leave. He let them know, hallelujah, that I will be raised up. Those who talk about me, I will, hallelujah, be lifted up. And this is what he was talking about, the resurrection, this day and time that we're celebrating him. And we celebrate him every day. But at this time of the year, this time is like elevated, as we just came out of Holy Week. And hallelujah, just the blessing that that is. And if you just meditate on it and think about it, you know, I'm not going to go there yet. I'm about to go into the message, and I'm still doing the introduction. I'm just excited, and I'm just grateful this morning, hallelujah, with all that's going on around us, whether it's something going on in your immediate family, or you just turn on the news and you see so much negativity. Sometimes I don't even watch the news. It can be depressing, especially if you just watch it and sit there and watch it and over and over and over. That gets into your ear gate and your eye gate. It's good to know what's going on, though these things that we're hearing and seeing shouldn't be a surprise to us. It's sad, but these things were predicted that it would be. And we just have to continue to pray and continue to get ourselves built up on our most holy faith. Hallelujah. Those who have the gift of praying in the spirit of tongues, continue to pray even the more. Hallelujah. For power to be increased in you even the more. Hallelujah. To stand and have it all done to stand. Continue to stand firm in your place. When you see all these earthquakes and tornadoes and floods and fires and all diverse types of places and these wars and the rumors of wars and the war we know that's going on through Ukraine and Russia and in China and all these different things is happening. You see countries coming together that never would. They were enemies and rivalries. So what is that setting things up for? We don't know. It looks like even the more war, but we have the people of the Most High. We have to keep our eyes on the prize, on our resurrected Savior, my. Yes, who is the Father himself as well. And he sent us the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Had he not went away, I don't know where I'd be if it wasn't for the comforting of the Holy Spirit, if it wasn't for the comforting of his guidance in my life. I depend on him. I need him to lead me every step of this walk, every step of this born-again journey. Amen. I believe, and I'm hoping you feel in the same way. It's just so much going on that can bring negativity, you know, the gun violence, and you see these young people getting these guns, and you're trying to figure out, we can't figure out where are they getting them from, where are their parents? It's just so much going on in the details we don't know. But our Father, hallelujah, he knows it all. He sees it all. And I'm so glad I give him praise because he does. And that's what encourages me. Even when we experiencing the food prices and the gas prices, they just jack it up when they want to. And it's just taking back down and jacking back up when they want to. It doesn't matter. We as people of the Most High, we're still going to rise. We're still going to be provided for because even as we celebrated Good Friday on Friday, hallelujah, when the Messiah said those three words, it is finished. He finished the will of the Most High Father. He finished it. It was done. That means everything that he came to do for us, everything he came to take on his body for us, including all of our provisions on this earth. Hallelujah. He came that we would have life and have it more abundantly. So why should we get so caught up in all the instability that we see that's going on in this earth? Help us, Holy Spirit, help us not to get so focused on that, but to get our focus on the risen Savior, hallelujah, our resurrected King, hallelujah, our Heavenly Father, the Holy Spirit who's leading in us and guiding us. They're all one triune being, and I'm so grateful. Yes, they had their various separated offices that they worked in, but they're still one, my, and we have the Holy Spirit today indwelling us. Hallelujah, speaking to us and talking to us. I'm just so grateful. All I can say, it appears like all this mess and craziness is on a rise. But we can say, but Elohim, but our God, hallelujah, he's yet in control. I believe that. I don't care what it looks like the enemy's trying to rampage and what he's trying to bring and do in the family, even in the family unit. He's still a liar. And we have to continue to let him know we know who he is. Because guess why? We can do that. We know who we are. Hallelujah. Let us go to prayer this morning. Hallelujah. I'm just grateful this morning that if there's ever a time, we're going to say this statement, if there's ever a time for encouragement, that time's now because of all this craziness. Hallelujah. So I pray and I hope that you come with your ears, hallelujah, your spiritual ears open so that we will have that divine direction that we need. Hallelujah. To walk
hallelujah, to see what's really going on. Hallelujah. Our spiritual eyes can grasp and discern, huh, what's really going on and what are we really seeing. What is the experience all about? Amen. I'm grateful that he shows me every day. I believe he's showing you every day himself even the more. Hallelujah. Let us have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning for this brand new day. We thank you that you woke us up. Hallelujah. Yes, you resurrected us again to a brand new day. And we thank you. Hallelujah. We thank you that our life is being resurrected daily in you. And we thank you as we depend on you, as we trust in you. Hallelujah. You are the hope of glory. You are the only hope we have, and we thank you for that. Father, we just give you praise, hallelujah, for your mercy that's new today, where we're not getting what we deserve. Thank you for your new mercy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You said they're new every morning. We thank you for your grace. Hallelujah. Where we get what we don't deserve. Hallelujah. You're so faithful. You're just good all the time. Even in the midst of bad, you're still a good father. You're a good, good father. You're a great father. And we thank you. I thank you. I trust you. And I depend on you. Hallelujah. We don't take it for granted. Hallelujah. That you even woke us up and we're in our right state of mind. Someone woke up this morning and didn't even know who they were. Hallelujah. I know sometimes when I know I'm not the only one, Father, but sometimes we replace or miss something and we have to retract our steps to even remember where we put a certain thing. It might have been our keys or something else we laid down. But Father, we thank you. We're yet in our right state of mind. You even help us to remember those things. We don't take that for granted. Someone's mind is not sturdy today. Oh, have mercy, Father. We just thank you this morning. Help us not to take these things for granted. We have the activities of our limbs, Father. Our senses are at work and in operation. Yes, I can see. I believe those on here may be able to see. We can see. I'm talking about the natural senses that you've given us, to see, the smell, the hear, the taste. Hallelujah. And we can even feel. We thank you this morning, Father. We don't take it for granted. We just give you praise and glory for all your provisions, even the roof that's over our head. We could have been out there on the street and woke up to the stars this morning. Hallelujah. Laying down on a cardboard box and all the rain this local area has been experiencing, we could have been trying to figure out how to keep from getting wet. It doesn't feel good when you get wet. And then when it's cold and wet, oh, my, it's like it chills the bones. Father, we don't take that for granted as we continuously lift up the homeless and pray for them and cover them, Father. We just thank you. Help us to continue to keep at the forefront of our minds how blessed we truly are. And sometimes when we hear someone else's situation, there's someone else's that can always be even the worst. Father, help us to keep our minds on you. Help us not to murmur and complain. Oh, we give you praise for that. Now, Holy Spirit, I ask you, as you and I together, as we tag team, come together and encourage your saints, even myself, Father, I thank you. You're welcome. Hallelujah. You're welcome to infiltrate this time. Hallelujah. In your presence. Hallelujah. Yes. For such a time as this. And we thank you. Hallelujah. We pray that prayer in the mighty name of Yeshua. Amen. Amen. And to him be all the glory. Saints, I just praise him this morning. I give him glory this morning for who he is. Yes, he is our Redeemer. And I just thank him. Yes, this resurrecting, been talking about it since I've been talking. Amen. But this resurrection Sunday morning, we're just grateful. And I'm grateful for how we, yes, even got to celebrate this whole Holy Week, or, you know, the blessing of the Passover within the middle of the week, and just reflecting back on the life of the Messiah and what he did for us. And then reflecting, it helped us reflect on our own self and making sure we're in right standing and hallelujah, that we're doing the right thing before him. And I'm just grateful this morning, because yesterday I didn't do anything. I stayed in the house all day long. I really, really acknowledged the Sabbath day of rest. Saturday is the Sabbath. Regardless of what they say, it is a Sabbath day. I know the scripture talk about there's no day amongst another. You don't put another day amongst another day, whatever that Sabbath is, but Saturday is a Sabbath. Amen. And I really took advantage of it on yesterday, and I just kind of just, as I was just moving about in the house and just doing different things, I just talked to the Father all day. I just talked and communed with the Holy Spirit all day and just back and forth and in between a few phone calls. And I'm just grateful this morning for that time of relaxation and rejuvenation. And it does pay to take a time to rest. Amen. I don't care what all you got going on and what all you're involved with. And then I had, you know, a Good Friday was off, and I kind of slept in on Friday. I slept in on Saturday, and I just thank the Most High for that extra rest that my body needed and my mind and my entire being needed. It was just a blessing just to be able to think, oh, you don't have to do nothing today. Sometimes we think something's wrong if we're not busy or doing something, but we need that time of rest. Yes, we do. Our Heavenly Father, he allowed, hallelujah, the Messiah, hallelujah, Yeshua, he continued to establish that through his walk on the earth with the disciples. Amen. He continued to rest. He showed himself going away to rest. But the blessing of the Passover, you know, I'm just grateful as we did celebrate this week, Passover, Holy Week. As we know, sin created separation between God and the people of God. That's what sin done. So that's why the blessing of the Passover, when you're thinking of the Passover, the Messiah was getting ready to pass over. That last meal was a celebration of passing over, amen, from life into death to life. It was death, it was life to death to life, amen. We get to experience that ourselves, amen, because there are times when we're dead in sin, amen, dead in sin, amen, but the resurrected Savior came to shine the word on the light. The light of the word on that darkness, on that death of sin. My, when you think about it, hallelujah, as he continues to prune us and tune us and show us areas in our lives, because none of us have arrived. We never will. I don't know who thinks you may be hearing this right now, and you think that you have arrived and you made it, that you're in a certain place and you're holier than thou. Oh, God forbid. You better come down off that high horse. None of us are perfect. None of us have arrived. We need the Savior. We need the guidance of the Holy Spirit. That's why it is so important. Our personal relationship with our Creator should be first and foremost. He's first in everything. Not your husband, not your wife, not your children. He's first. He has an order. I will be first. Hallelujah. He's first. Then if you're married, your spouse is next. And then your children is after your spouse. That's the order. I don't care. Even if the family trajectory changes and you go to a blended family, it still will always be that order. Him, your spouse, and then those children. Amen. I don't care what age they become. Our Father always has an order, and his order will not change for none of us. Amen. And I'm grateful for that. He created the family. He knows how the family needs to operate, and he knows it's going to operate the best in his order. Amen. I don't know why he had me to say that, but I thank him. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You know what you're doing. Hallelujah. this is your time to infiltrate, and I thank you. But I'm just grateful for the blessing that the Passover is. We can just think so many nuggets. And if any more come as I'm talking, they'll just flow out. I'm just grateful. Hallelujah. We're thankful because sin creates the separation between our Creator and His people being made in His image. Anytime there's sin, that's a hindrance or a blockage to keep us from becoming more like Him, because sin is dominating in that area. But I'm grateful, and the only way fellowship could be restored and was lost, or could be restored, even in the old covenant, was through blood, the shedding of blood. And in that system of that was like a substitution system. It was a substitute, but that's what the Most High Elohim, that's what He used in the old covenant, sacrificial atonement. You can read about that in the book of Leviticus, that sacrificial atonement that was always some lamb or some kind of blood animal that was shed for the people's atoning of their sins. We don't need to do that anymore. But even in Pharaoh's time, we know of the story where Pharaoh was oppressed over people in Egypt. We know the Most High had instructed His people to slaughter a lamb, place the blood over the doorpost of the home. I know we're familiar with that story. Amen. And nothing would come across that blood. And when it's done in faith, that was a sacrificial blood sacrifice. It protected the Israelites. Amen. From the judgment of the Most High. From pouring out, hallelujah, upon the Egyptians. The blood kept that judgment back. My. Isn't that something to think about? And we know that was taking place in the old covenant. He said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over. I will pass over you. Just think. Hallelujah. This is the old covenant we're talking about. That blood. Hallelujah. We know that uncompromising. That hallelujah. The sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice that was made. Hallelujah. He even told the Egyptians, when that blood is covering you, the plague will pass over. I remember when the pandemic came. Hallelujah. When the pandemic came, we were members of a particular ministry. And there was one in one of the cards, this particular scripture was written on there. And that card to this day is still posted on the front door of this house. My husband and I prayed over that card, and he said, now we're going to tape it to the front door. That is still posted on the front door. Nothing is coming through the blood. That was just a representation, a point of contact, as you hear sometimes when we're praying, and we use certain things as a point of contact, hallelujah, for the prayer that we're praying and what we're believing for. That was a point of contact, that the blood covers this home. Hallelujah. The front door, the back, and we went around and anointed all the doors because we got 1, 2, 3, 4 doors in this house, and a front door, a side door, and 2 back doors. So that's a lot of doors. Amen. So we're just grateful this morning as we're thinking about that. Think about this covenant, even in your own life, and that old covenant, how it was back then. Nothing changes. Our Father remains. There may be the system change a little bit. As we know back here, this was a substitution. This was something that was substituted and worked for that time. But my, what a time, what a time. When our Father, the Heavenly Father, instructed His people to remember and to celebrate this protection and this deliverance from oppression, all this is talked about in Leviticus. Amen. Leviticus talks about this. This came through the Passover lamb. That was the Passover lamb of an animal, blood being shed. But then the lamb of the fulfillment of the Messiah came. Hallelujah. Yeshua. Yes, we call Him Jesus. I'm calling Him Yeshua. Hallelujah. He is. That's who He is. Yes. He told His disciples, during that Passover celebration, as we were reminded of it this week. Those who really took some time to really delve into what this Holy Week was. Someone had sent me a text yesterday and said, Holy Saturday. I said, yes, it is. It's been a holy week, and it's a holy day every day. Hallelujah. Yes, it is. I thank you. I told him I thank you. But I observe this holy every day. That's what kind of walk we're supposed to be walking and talk we're supposed to be talking and the life we're supposed to be living each and every day just because of the finished work, hallelujah, on the cross. Because of that, this is a time of annual celebration. But we do it every day. We should be. We should be acknowledging what our Savior did every day. When a situation comes up and tries to throw us off guard, we can be reminded of the blood our Messiah shed for us. He took every bit of pain, yes, he did, on his body. Every disappointment, he secured it, hallelujah, for us, hallelujah. When he took the pain, his flesh being ripped and torn till he wasn't even recognized. I can't even fathom that. I can't even think about that. His flesh was ripped from his body. And when they put the crown of thorns on his head, they were nails about 6 to 8 inches long, I'm sure. I remember studying that long time ago. But just think those nails going into his skull, into his brain. He endured that for us. He endured all that for the entire world. And it's a lot of people in on this universe. Can you imagine? No, you can't. The agony and the pain. We can't. We can't imagine the pain he endured in his body for the whole wide world. That just kind of goes past my mental capacity of thinking. I can't relate to that when I experience some kind of pain in my body. My mind immediately goes to what he endured for me not to have to endure that pain. That's why I have to call on him if something tries to inflict my body. I trust him. I believe him. That's what he wants us to do. He took every dis-ease, every disorder, every sin on his body. And then he took it in the grave with him. And yes, when they buried him on that Good Friday, because they had a custom and a tradition, even then, that the body, it couldn't stay up on that cross. It couldn't stay up on that, on the way they made the tree. Oh, whatever the truth of that is, how that was. We've hearing so many different analogies of that. But he endured it. He hung on that tree. We know it was some wood. We know it was a tree. He hung on it for us. He endured it for us. But on a resurrected first day of the week, Sunday morning, he rose. Yes, resurrection power in his hand. His blood shed on that cross offers everything we need. Forgiveness, protection, deliverance from sin, from oppression. Not just at one time, but for once and for all. That's what he's done. And I'm ever so grateful. The Father's love is just awesome. As we experience it, as I was just reflecting this week on the path of our, I should have took the whole week off. But I, you know, because the distractions of job, of work, we have distractions of things. I wish I had just took the whole week off. I really do. Because I could have. After I thought about it yesterday, I said, ooh, this is pretty good. I should have took the whole week off and just basked in his presence. Not done anything. Maybe ran a few errands and that was it if I needed a few things. But that was it. I tell you. When we take that time to acknowledge his presence, because his presence is always with us, but we're not always acknowledging it. we're not always acknowledging his presence is right there with us because he's living on the inside of us. We need to acknowledge that even the more. Amen. I'm so grateful this morning for his sacrifice because our victory is secure in him. Because of his sacrifice, the victory we get to have over and over, the victories we get to have over and over again, they're secure. They've been made secure in him, through him, by him, just because of what he done. He rose, saints. He rose. And because he rose, amen, because he said it's finished, hallelujah, he had done the will of our Heavenly Father, his Heavenly Father. He always called them his Father. That's all he called them. My Father, I'm only doing what my Father sees. What you see me doing, it's what my Father, I don't say what my Father doesn't tell me to say. Just thinking about it. And then we're so loose with our words. We don't even think sometimes what we're actually saying. I try to be so conscious of it. Because I'm so conscious of it, sometimes I find myself correcting other people. And I don't mean any harm when I do that. It's just where I am. But I'm grateful. I'm there. I want to stay there. I really do. He said it's finished. And then he said he is risen. Now, I went through the passage of scriptures. You know, I think I might have mentioned this last week on the broadcast about the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, how they give some of the same stories, but they just write them a little different. And then John, he might talk about that story, but his is totally on another level. So I've been kind of in John for the past maybe 3 Sundays. So we're going to, guess what, we're going to be in John again today. But we're going to also be in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Because John gives a little different in his reading whereas Matthew, Mark, and Luke are so similar. And I'm not going to read it long. I just want to give an analogy, but then we're going to give really the real analogy at the end of. So in John 20, and I'm reading out of the scriptures in this particular passage, and I may hop around because I have a couple of different scriptures laying before me, different versions, but this one's called the scripture. Starting at the first verse in the 20th chapter of John. And on day one of the week, Miriam from Magdala came early to the tomb while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and came to Shimon, which is Simon Kepha, Simon Peter, and to the other top one whom Yeshua loved, and said to them, they have taken the master out of the tomb, and we do not know where they laid him. Then Kepha, or their Peter, and the other top one went out, and they were going to the tomb. And the two were running together, but the other top one outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And stooping down, he saw the linen wrappings lying, but he did not go in. Then Shimon, Kepha, which is Simon Peter, came following him and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen wrappings lying and the cloth which had been on his head not lying with the linen wrappings, but folded up in a place by itself. So then the other top one, who came to the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For they did not yet know the scripture that he has to rise again from the dead. So we're going to stop right there. And that was the first, let me see, the first nine verses of the 20th chapter. So now we're going to go to Matthew 28:1. Here we see in John, he gave the story that Mary Magdalene, the one who the Messiah delivered of those seven demons, that she was there and she went to report and they came. But it didn't give the account like Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So in Matthew, the 28th chapter, amen, let's go there. Or you can write it down, starting at the first verse. It says, now after the Sabbath, near dawn of the first day of the week, Mary of Magdala and the other Mary, which is Mary, the mother of Joseph, I'm saying that part, went to take a look at the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled the boulder back and sat upon it. His appearance was like lightning and his garment as white as snow. And those keeping guard were so frightened at the sight of him that they were agitated and they trembled and became like dead men. Those temple guards, you know, the ones who was thought they were going to keep him from coming out or thought that thing was going to be rolled away. They knew he had some power because he demonstrated on earth. The temple guards were standing guard, but guess what? They froze when that angel appeared. My. We have angels too, still on guard for us today. Isn't that awesome? But the angel said to the women, do not be alarmed and frightened, for I know that you are looking for Yeshua, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, as he said he would do. Come see the place where he lay. And that was the sixth verse. And that's all we're going to say in Matthew 28. Let's go to Mark 16:1, starting at the first verse. And when the Sabbath was passed, that is, after the sun had set, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome, it mentions another person, purchased sweet-smelling spices so they might go and anoint the Messiah's body. And very early on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb by then, and the sun had risen. And they said to one another, who will roll back the stone for us out of the groove across the floor at the door of the tomb? And when they looked up, they distinctly saw that the stone was already rolled back, for it was very large. And going into the tomb, they saw a young man sitting there on the right side, clothed in a long, stately, sweeping robe of white. And they were utterly amazed and struck with terror. And he said to them, do not be amazed and terrified. You are looking for a Yeshua of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. That's also the sixth verse, hallelujah, in Mark. Now, let us go to Luke. My. Hallelujah. Luke 24, starting at the 24th, the first verse. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices which they had made ready. And they found the stone rolled back from the tomb. But they went inside. They did not find the body of the Lord, the Messiah. And while they were perplexed and wondering what to do about this, behold, two men in dazzling raiment suddenly stood beside them. And as the women were frightened and were bowing their faces to the ground, the men said to them, why do you look for the living among those who are dead? Sixth verse. Ha! He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he told you why he was still in Galilee. My. Isn't that amazing? Now, they gave their story and their analogies a little different. But in that sixth verse, the main thing was, he's still not here. He's risen. He's gone. He up out of here. He did exactly what he said he was going to do. Now, we notice, if you notice in Matthew and Mark,
They said Mary, the two Marys. And if you notice in Luke here, it just says they. If you read down a little further in the 10th verse, it says the they is, it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women. So in Luke's account, he gave more than just those three women. So it was many women that were there. But then when we go to John, when he talks about it, he only talks about Mary of Magdalene. But it doesn't even show that an angel appeared. It doesn't even, not at that moment, not when she actually sees that the tomb is empty. They're given all these different stories, similar but yet different. Isn't that amazing? But the key to all of it is he rose. So I'm going to go back to John, and we stopped at the 9th verse. We stopped at the 9th verse in John. Because we haven't heard those words yet. She didn't ever say it, Mary. She just recognized it, and then she went and got Peter and another disciple. Amen? So, for they did not, we're going to start at the 10th verse now in the 20th chapter of John. Therefore, the taught ones went away again by themselves. But Miriam was standing outside by the tomb weeping. Then as she wept, she stooped down to the tomb. And this is when she saw two messengers in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Yeshua had been laid. And they said to her, woman, why do you weep? She said to them, because they took away my master, and I do not know where they laid him. And having said this, she turned around and saw Yeshua standing, but she did not know that it was him. Yeshua said to her, woman, why do you weep? Whom do you seek? Thinking he was the gardener. She said to him, master, if you have carried him away, say to me where you put him, and I shall take him away. Yeshua said to her, Miriam. She turned and said to him, Rabboni, which means teacher. Yeshua said to her, do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my Elohim and your Elohim. Miriam from Magdala came announcing to the top ones that she had seen the Master and that he had told her this. When therefore it was evening on that day, day one of the week, and when the doors were shut, where the taught ones met for fear, Yeshua came and stood in the midst. They were afraid of the Jews, for fear of Yehudim, which is the Jews. Yeshua came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace to you. I'm just so grateful this morning that when we say peace, 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 or shalom, hallelujah, we mean it. Amen. We mean it. Peace that he speaks to us. He let them know, I'm here. I'm back. I've returned. Hallelujah. But I have to get a seal of approval first. But I'm leaving you my peace. He showed them his hand. He showed them his side. And they rejoiced when they saw him. Isn't that something? He showed them the mark of what he had done. Then he said, peace to them again. So he said, this is the final seal. As the Father has sent me, I sent you. I'm sending you. Guess what? That's the use today. We're the use today. We get to go continue to share this blessing of the finished work and his rising again. He rose, and he's yet raising us up. Amen. We talked about that briefly last week. Amen. We are yet being resurrected until that final day because he's continuing to show us if things in us that's not of him. He's continuing to work on us. Hallelujah. He's the potter. We're the clay. Amen. And we want him to mold us and shape us to be more like him. Amen. I'm just grateful this morning. And then there was another passage of scripture. We're going to go over. This was after, of course, the ascension, the resurrection. I just get messed up a little bit when I think about it. He's so good. He's so faithful. Hallelujah. I just bless his name. Let's go to Acts, the 17th chapter. So this was Paul. This was way later. You know, they had to go into the upper room and receive the Spirit before they went out and went forth. Amen. So this was way later. We're going to skip on over to it because it's going to mention the resurrection. I'm going to break into the 16th verse. And this was the Athens, you know. They had a lot going on at Athens. Amen. Some of us can have a lot going on. But when the Savior gets involved, he changes the trajectory. Amen. The Athens were known for their magnificent building. They thought they had it going on. Magnificent building. And guess what? They had a bunch of gods that they served. A bunch of idols. It was the center of the Greek culture. That's where this was. I'm just giving a little back history before we read this scripture. They were known for education and their philosophy. Yeah. Because guess what? They had all these gods that they were worshiping. So they had a lot going on, you know, and they thought they had it going on. They really did. It says even during this time, there were some people called the Epicureans and the Stoics. And they were Greek. They were Greek. The Epicureans, and both of them were dominant in the philosophy of the Greek culture, which means they kind of were all into the tradition of the Greeks and what they did and how they served all these other gods. So, you know, they believed in seeking happiness and pleasure. And can you imagine with all these different gods, they did it by any means necessary? They didn't care. That was what their main goal was, seeking pleasures and happiness. That was their primary goal in life. We have some believers that feel that way. They got it missing and twisted. That's your God now. That's even mentioned in the scripture. You have your heaven already, because if that's where your God is, in your trust in your riches and what you have, you already have who your God's going to be if you don't turn and come to the Almighty Creator. My. This is just a little bit of history. The Stoics, in other words, they were ruled by nature and reason. They were still in the Greek tradition part of it. They suppressed the pleasure. So they were both, all were Greeks in different type of ways, but they still weren't accepting. They were disciplined because they didn't go for the pleasures, but they still, you know, weren't pleasing unto the Most High. So now we're going to break into that 17th chapter. I'm at 17th verse of the 16th chapter of the 16th verse of the 17th chapter of Acts. Keep yourself together, sister. But while Saul was waiting for them, this is Paul, at Athens, his spirit was stirred up within him when he saw that the city was utterly idolatrous. Therefore, indeed, he was reasoning in the congregation with the Jews and with the worshipers, and in the marketplace daily with those who met there. And some of the Epicureans and the Stoic philosophers encountered him. And some were saying, what does this babbler wish to say? They called him a babbler. What he got to talk about? We don't want to hear what he got to say. Others said, he seems to be a proclaimer of strange mighty ones, because to them he brought the good news, Yeshua, and the resurrection. So they laid hold of him and brought him to the Areopagus, which is Mars. It's a place, a Mars hill, where he went to minister. Are we able to know what this fresh teaching is of which you speak? For you are bringing some strange matters to our ears. They were used to all that devilish stuff. We wish then to know what these mean. But they still was inquisitive. For all the atheists and the strangers living there spent their leisure time in doing naught but to speak or to hear what is fresh. And having stood in the midst of the Areopagus, Paul said, "Men of Athens, I see that you are very religious in every matter. For passing through and observing the objects of your worship, I even found a slaughter place with this inscription, to the unknown mighty one. Not knowing then whom you worship, I make him known to you. Yahweh, who made the world and all that is in it, this one being, master of heaven and earth, does not dwell in dwellings made with hands." We need to think about these words. He made the world and all this. And this is what Paul is saying to them at Mars Hill. These people of Athens that was worshiping these idols. He walked into the city. I'm sure he could just smell the stench of sin. He could just see it everywhere. You can imagine if they was doing all kind of pleasures, what kind of acts he was seeing before his very eyes. I mean, I kind of was thinking about this thing when I was reading this. Nor is he served with men's hands. Has a meeting in himself, giving to all life and breath and everything else. Everything we have comes from Yahweh. He didn't need any hands. He is the hand. He gave that to us. Right here it's saying he gave us life and breath and everything else. Whatever it is we need, all we have to do is trust him and depend on him. He's our resurrected Savior. 26, and he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, having ordained beforehand the times and the boundaries of their dwelling, to seek the master, if at least they would reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. He's right here. He was right there. Paul was sharing and bringing, amen. The Holy Spirit was in Paul, yes, and he was taking them and telling them what had just happened, talking about the resurrected Savior. To seek the master, if at least they will reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and are. There's another scripture that says, for it's in him that we live and move and have our very being. And also some of our own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Now then, since we are the offspring of Elohim, we should not think that the Elohim is like gold or silver or stone or an image made by the skill and the thought of man. How many images do we see that they set up even today? They say it's Jesus. We don't worship those images. I don't want those images in my home. It's some pictures I'm getting ready to take up out of here now. I'm trying to figure out what to do with it. Maybe I just need to throw them away. But we don't need to have any type of images that we look upon, that we think, hallelujah, that's it. We're going to see him as he is when we see him. Amen. My. No stone, no silver, no gold, no image. Truly then, having overlooked these times of ignorance, Elohim now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has set a day on which he is going to judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed, having given proof of this to all by raising him from the dead. And hearing of the resurrection of the dead, some indeed mocked. Oh, yeah, you're still going to have them. While others said, we shall hear you again.
hear you again concerning this. And so Paul went out from among them, but some men joined him and believed, among them the Amosis, the Arobacat, and however you say that, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. So it doesn't matter where we go and how we're talking about this resurrected king. It's going to be some naysayers. There were naysayers in this time back here and back in the days of the scriptures when they were written, and there's going to be naysayers today. But that shouldn't stop us. Hallelujah. He's risen, and we thank him. We know he's risen. He has arose, and he's raising us up. We're living proof. Our life today is not like it was years ago or last year. It should be changed from last year. Amen. We're not in the same place. He calls us up higher. Amen. As we're spending time in his presence. And I just love this. There's no image, no gold, no nothing that can be offered. Everything that we see down here that we see, that we temporal, that we can see, that we can touch, that we can feel, it's all going to pass away. Every bit of it. We don't put our stock in it. You know, some people, you put their stock in, you know, I got this, my house. This is the house. Yeah, we live here in these homes. We may be, but don't nothing. Whether we rent or whether we say we buy or paying a mortgage, none of this belongs to us. We're just stewards. And we have to remember that. It's not mine. He gets to allow us, we get to enjoy it because of him. My this, my that. It wouldn't be ours if it wasn't for him. It's still his. We just get to live in it. Be good stewards of it. Amen. That's it. It's all about stewardship and service. Hallelujah. And I'm grateful to him this morning that we get to give him service, because we recognize and we know we, hallelujah, serve the risen Savior. Hallelujah. He rose with all power in his hand. And he's given us the power and the authority to go forth in him. Just like Paul, he was bold. He didn't care. He was amongst all that idolatry mess. He was in the city of sin. He was in Sin City. And we have to go to these places sometimes. Sometimes we don't want to. Some believers don't even want to work in these tight places where it's a bunch of mess going on. We want to work amongst all the believers. Well, where's somebody going to get saved at? Where's somebody going to get delivered and set free at? We have to go amongst the wolves. We have to be out there. They're out there. We're the light of the earth. I mean, the salt of the earth. The light of the world. Darkness is in the world. All this mess is going on. We see all this stuff going on, even with the transgenders, and now you can't even tell a lot of times if a man has been changed to a woman or vice versa, with all the hormonal changes taking place in somebody's body. I saw a clipping last night as I was flipping the TV, and this I think I saw once before when I realized what this person was. He used to be a woman, but he totally looks like a man. He went to meet the lady's parents. I was like, oh, that's that same person. I was like, okay, click. That was the same person, but you would never know that they were a man. All this kind of stuff is taking place in our very presence, and we don't know. But guess who? We know who does know. The King of Kings. Yes, he knows. Our Heavenly Father knows everything. He's omnipresent. But my thing is to us, because the Messiah got up out of that grave, we don't have to stay in the grave in any area in our life. We don't have to stay in the grave clothes. We read on the different accounts. His linen was laying there. We read a few different passages. If you want to go back to Matthew 28 and Mark 16 and Luke 24 and read for yourself in its entirety. I kind of just pulled a little bit from it. And then read John in its entirety, John 20, talking about the resurrected part of our Savior. But when he got up, those linen clothes were still laying that he was wrapped in. He was wrapped. They were laying, showing that he had went away. Some of us are holding on to some linen. Hallelujah. Some linen. When he rose up, he left that behind that had him bound. You know, they had to bind his body and wrap his body. What has us bound still? We need to continue to go before the Father. If there's anything, hallelujah, that we know and he's revealed to us that's not like him, he's showing us that we need to work on in our own personal life. Hallelujah. It doesn't stop us from going out helping others. Trust me. But then we have areas we're still working on ourselves. We need to get rid of those grave clothes. Hallelujah. Let them drop. Let them go. Yesterday's mess up or sin or whatever is gone and it's been defeated. Amen. We're not dead anymore. We're not dead. We're alive because of the Messiah. Because he resurrected to life and he's raising up to life. I can't say that enough. I'm so glad he's raising me even the more to life in him. Amen. And in the final victory, hallelujah, we're going to be caught up to meet him in the air if we don't go to sleep first here on this earth. I'm just so grateful that he's calling us out of those tombs today. Yes, he wants us to live a resurrected life every day, not just this time of the year that we celebrate. They have on the worldly calendar Easter, but we celebrate resurrection, the resurrected life, because it's not about an Easter bunny and Easter eggs and all that kind of stuff. It's about a resurrected Savior, and he resurrected us to life, and we get to live it each and every day. I'm just so grateful today, hallelujah, as he's leading us out about our day. I'm going to unmute the lines, and if you have a question, if you have a comment pertaining to the message, or if you have a prayer request, it's open. The time has been extended a little longer on this broadcast, a little longer than an hour, because it got to the point where I was going over. Amen. But the Holy Spirit, I want him to be in control, and I don't want to rush his process. I don't want to rush his process. Not at all. Any question or comment or prayer request? Hallelujah. Let us have prayer as we go forth throughout the remainder of our day and our week. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. Thank you for your plan. Thank you for your finished work. Thank you that our Messiah, yes, Jesus, he endured on the cross the finished work of your will, your divine will, hallelujah, which brought us salvation. We're saved, yes, and we're yet being saved. We're yet being delivered. We're yet being set free. And we're going out and we're bringing others in. We're getting others delivered and set free. That's what it's all about. If you even said in your scripture, he that winneth souls is wise. Help us to follow out that pursuit of wisdom. Hallelujah. And hallelujah, holding up the blood-stained banner. We thank you, Messiah, for what you did for us. How you passed over, hallelujah, from death to life. And you're taking us, hallelujah, through that life. We passed over. We're yet passing over. Yes, and we will pass over again in that new resurrected getting up morning. We thank you. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you're yet to do in our resurrected life. We give you praise, glory, and honor for paying that full penalty for our sins. It's been paid. Paid in full. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Messiah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, I give you glory this morning. Hallelujah. Now we can freely approach your throne. We can come before the Most High, Elohim, any time of the day, and we thank you. We don't take it for granted. We just come lifting up our families to you, Father. You know what they need. You know each and every. You know everything. Hallelujah. You're omnipotent. There's nothing you don't know about. And we thank you. You're omnipresent. You're everywhere all the time at the same time. And we thank you for that. Thank you for going where we can't go. Thank you for doing what we can't do. We just pray and we ask and we believe you. Hallelujah. For we know you have all things in the palm of your hand. And we continue to place them there. Now, Heavenly Father, as we go about this beginning of this new week, we ask that you go forth before us. We loose our angelic host to go forth before us. Prepare the way. Make every crooked path straight. Smooth out every rough edge. And we give you praise for that. Thank you for working on our behalf. You see ahead of us. You know what we're going to have to face this week. And we thank you. We're going to trust you even in that, with that, and for that. Hallelujah. We pray all these things in your name. Father, we just continue to lift up all those who are dealing with any type of health challenge in their body. But we know, Jesus, hallelujah, you bore it on yours that we wouldn't have to. We're just going to believe you. We're going to believe you for divine manifested healing. And we give you praise for it. We give you praise, glory, and honor in all things. Anything that someone's coming to you with in their secret closet. You know what we're coming to you with, Father. We thank you. You're going to reward us wide open. Hallelujah. Continue to move like only you can. And we thank you. If there's anything we failed in asking on behalf of anyone and anybody, we thank you, Lord, that you won't fail in giving. Thank you for going forth before those who are going to resurrected services today. Thank you for what you're going to impart even the more. Hallelujah. In the spirit. Hallelujah. And we give you praise for that. It's all in the name of Yeshua, the Messiah, we pray. Amen, amen. And to Elohim be all the glory. Shalom. I speak his peace to you. Hallelujah.